Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new Smart Firefighting miniseries created during the Phase 5 of the First Challenge, hosted at the Muscatatuck Urban Training Center. The First Challenge focus is to produce marketable prototypes that demonstrate indoor localization tracking of first responders within 1 meter accuracy without any pre-deployed infrastructure. Many of you heard stories from Phase 4, and here in Phase 5, the challenges were increased by including multiple responders, longer durations, and longer distances. In these conversations, you will hear from many of the entrepreneurs, first responders, and team members involved that address these challenges and opportunities of X, Y, and Z axis tracking from multiple perspectives around scalability, usability, affordability, and more. This challenge is administered by the Indiana University Crisis Technology Innovation Lab and funded by the NIST Public Safety Communication Research PSCR Division. Also, consider putting the NIST 5x5 conference on your calendar, located in Chicago, June 25th to 27th, 2024. Enjoy this deep dive into first responder tracking technology, and please reach out with your thoughts. Here, back in front of the hospital in Muscatatuck, alongside Jad Mushi with BadVR. Jad, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. Beautiful day. Technology's working. Can't complain.
It really is beautiful. I, for some reason, was expecting it to be cold, but it's been quite warm here in Muscatatuck.
Yeah, it's same as where we're from, Los Angeles, originally. It's like we brought the weather along or made reservations for it. We're very happy.
Although the leaves are definitely turning, so fall time is beautiful. So what was your path to getting here to Muscatatuck, Indiana, and participating in this Phase 5 challenge? Well, not necessarily participating in it, but kind of participating on the sidelines here.
Definitely, yeah. We had participated in the Chariot Challenge several years ago through NIST and did very well in that, and then participated in the Commanding Challenge where we won second place. And from that, we got a lot of appreciation, knowledge of, and experience and access to this world of public safety with regard to incident command and data and the future vision of all of this user interface stuff. And so that's what ultimately brought us out here is we had a demonstration of a product that shows this incident command virtual dashboard, and we brought in the live data and the renderings, and we're displaying it here.
So for those of us that aren't overly familiar with the Chariot Challenge and the Commanding Tech Challenge, give me kind of a high-level overview of both of those challenges.
Chariot Challenge was all about visualizing IoT sensor data. Commanding Challenge was about incident command and thinking about and imagining what's the next generation of all of this. Where's this all going? What will this become in the future? And how will technologies like XR, AR, VR, how will that factor in? Will this be a spatial computing experience? So NIST is very much at the forefront of all of this, pioneering, and we are fortunate to sort of come along and be able to access the public safety world and then bring our sort of XR expertise and fuse these things together to build really meaningful and capable visions of the future.
Well, we're all very glad you're here and that you're helping continue to push the ball forward. And on the table, I see both a VR headset and an AR headset. So you're using both. I mean, tell me about sort of how and why you're using both and sort of what's the benefit. I mean, there's pros and cons of both, so maybe kind of just shine light on kind of how you're adopting and using AR and VR in different public safety applications.
We had always started with, I think it was VR, battery-powered VR devices, and got good response. But one of the main pieces of feedback was, yeah, but what if the headset changes? What if something new comes along? What about this headset? What about that headset? So we just made the decision, okay, we'll just be compatible with everything. AR, VR, XR, we'll just make it so that within the experience, it'll adjust to whatever capabilities the device has. And if you have an AR experience, the user interface is slightly different and the background is slightly different. So that was the idea, is how can we make ourselves as versatile as possible and really have an application that adapts to the equipment rather than requiring people to have equipment that adapts to the application. So that flexibility was a critical principle that we found public safety demanded.
Right on. And I'm a big believer of and, not or. And depending on the end user, I mean, whether it's a flat screen, whether it's an AR or a VR, they all have their advantage based on the circumstance and the end user.
Some work really well outside. Some work better inside. Some are great in an office. Some are great in a warehouse. So having that flexibility, because when you're dealing with an incident, it could be anywhere, literally anywhere. It could be underground. And so having devices and experiences that are just very, very flexible, we found was really important. And being able to even switch back and forth between an AR mode on a VR headset, like with mixed reality with this Meta headset, or being able to turn on the VR mode on the Magic Leap headset. And so it's funny, you almost see all the technology converging a little bit on both simultaneously being available to the end user for different purposes, whether they need isolation or they need the most amount of space.
So kind of going back a little bit to the Commanding Tech Challenge experience, how long was it? And ultimately kind of what exercises were involved and what was that like?
Oh boy. So that was many phases and dealing with a lot of very specific, you know, as a commander, I want to be able to see this information. I want to see different floors of a LiDAR scanned building. And I want to be able to see people moving between those floors and identify them and be able to communicate with somebody else. Hey, unit 2704 is down. We need to send somebody to get them. And oh, there's 15 people that we've discovered over here. And so it was a lot of, I would say, very story driven tasks and requirements based on real historical scenarios or based on things very similar to historical scenarios. So that's sometimes the best teacher and preparer of the future is to look back at the past. So building these scenarios and environments out of real things that have happened so that people can train against them and be able to react properly to the unknown of what comes.
Well said. And I mean, here were the NIST Phase 5 first challenge here in Miskatonic, Indiana. Was there any sort of field exercise or something sort of time when you went out and had an exercise like this?
We have done some stuff in the field with live deployments, so with live customer deployments. With regard to something like this, this is a bit new for us. So having this amount of people, all this different technology, all these pieces fitting together and us plugging into it, as opposed to us being, let's say, the sole technology entity out in the field, it's a different type of an experience, but it's really valuable because now we see how the value chain increases dramatically once you start putting all the puzzle pieces together. So now that you have a live tracking system, now that you have a good mapping system, now all of a sudden, in totality, this becomes really impactful on the first responders and the different public safety individuals. And so that was something that sometimes is missing when we're out there doing our thing alone. You know, and they say, hey, it'd be great if we could track people inside. And I say, yeah, it would be great, wouldn't it? We don't do that. We're going to need to find somebody who does. But now we found a bunch of people who do. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, you being, I don't want to say an outsider, but you came in here, and I don't know if you were necessarily in the weeds as much on the first challenge, but you being here on sort of the demo day when you're mm-hmm. seeing these six different teams competing, and well, they're not competing today, they're demoing, and hopefully there'll be the award ceremony tomorrow. But from your perspective, what's it been like? What are your thoughts in terms of what you're seeing with the tech and kind of how this has been run and kind of like the whole story and impact here?
Yeah, I think the tech seems to be working pretty well. We were looking at some of the live data inside the virtual ops center, and we were seeing people tracking along and moving, and everything looked pretty good. So from our perspective, the tech looks like it works. I can only imagine what it's like, you know, for everybody hustling around with it and adjusting and tuning, but from our perspective, it looks pretty well polished. Like it's come probably quite a long way during the course of the challenge. So we are, I would say, pleasantly surprised.
I would echo that and retweet that. But then I would also kind of want your thoughts on, and you touched on a little bit earlier, but just all the different stakeholders. I mean, so it's kind of towards the end right now and some people have left, but why are these kind of events and opportunities to bring all these different stakeholders together valuable? And sort of what have you taken away from this event so far?
It's all about getting these different perspectives. So we maybe will meet different people in different places, but to bring all the subject matter experts together, to bring all the operators and the command personnel and the different groups also, you have police and fire and EMS, to bring that all into one place, now you start to understand how they all communicate with each other. And that's something that you don't get in isolation. You don't hear how police and fire hand off an issue or coordinate on an issue, and a lot of issues do require coordination. So that's what's so valuable for us, is being able to have frank, open, you know, very, very detailed conversations with a variety of people in a short amount of time and bounce some of their ideas off of each other and see how it feels overall and get them all in a group conversation. And it's like the epitome of brainstorming right there.
Couldn't agree more. It's really that magic in the room once you get these different stakeholders and perspectives. And yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
So it's October 23, 2023, and kind of interested in like what's next for Bad VR. I mean, where do you where's your focus? You know, do you have any sort of like tech roadmap rollout in terms of where you're taking this and what's next for you?
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of customer deployments. We're doing some different pilot projects. We are doing a lot of demonstrations. So we're kind of making the trade show circuit and all of that. We're doing some different talks and all of that. We just got a couple patents awarded. So we're heads down on the tech, getting it out into people's hands, getting feedback from them, begging them to give us the most critical feedback possible so we can improve the product, and really just building a projection into the future of where we think this is going. But distribution through the different headsets is, I would say, the next step, is we're starting to do some of that marketing and really bring it to market.
I love it. And, you know, I guess I've asked this a little bit in the podcast already, but sort of anything that sort of caught your eye, surprised you here, any sort of takeaways from this your day here in Miskatonic?
The reaction that we got from some of the different people that were able to experience it and test out the demo was much more impactful and much more sort of surprising than we thought. We didn't think that they would react so strongly positively to it. Mm-hmm. We thought there might be some pushback on the headset, the equipment, the weight, the bulkiness, the heat, all the different things you could nitpick about a piece of equipment, but they saw through the equipment and they saw to the value proposition, to the actual application and what it would do potentially to help them. And so that was really, I would say, really impactful to us and really helped us build a good handle of why we came out here, which is to have that exact conversation with somebody who isn't going to get hung up on the little details that might change in a couple months, but to really think about the grand vision of where this is all going. And for them to reinforce and, I would say, almost authorize that vision and say, yes, we do think that's the right direction that you're going in, that's really, really validating for us. And that gives us a lot more confidence to put our time into pushing in that direction.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. I mean, sometimes you gotta do what you know is right, but it's also really important to have that feedback from, even just looking in the parking lot over there, seeing Stefan Truthin and some of the other bright minds here, from Chief Dale Rolfson and Captain Kurt McKenzie and Jason Pennington and David Wild and Sandy Kirkley, and just all these people here. It's a valuable brain trust, and obviously you've gone through a few NIST programs, so I think you've done a good job of squeezing the lime on some of the value of the business development. It's not just the engineering side, but the biz dev side. And kind of looking at your shirt, remind me, if I got to ask, where the name Bad VR and the brand, what's the story behind that?
Well, other than being badass, it does actually stand for something. It's an acronym. It's bring all your data into VR. So bring the information that you have, the world's information, into the holographic environment and step inside your data, explore it, discover all the hidden insights.
Yeah. Bad VR. That's
badass.
That is badass. I love
right
it.
On.
And if I could ask you to give us one sort of, I've asked everyone this, and this will be maybe my token mark of this podcast series, but of a mic drop of sorts, of a comment, a question, an insight, a challenge, or anything that you could leave us with here today.
I think what we've seen, what we've experienced here, is the spark of what will become a raging inferno of capabilities. So I think that maybe we've all been hunting around for that ember, but I think it's very, very clear that it has migrated from that. There's definitely something here. There's something to it, and everybody knows it. And so we all know that we're at the beginning of a very interesting journey.
Well said. Well, it was wonderful to stumble upon each other here in Miskatonic, and I look forward to learning more and staying to talk to you about all things Bad VR.
Thank you.
Stay badass. Thanks for listening to today's episode. What did you think? What'd you learn? Hopefully something, right? Please reach out on social media with your thoughts on this episode and any other suggestions for future content. We look forward to capturing more important stories across public safety and are here at your service.